Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy.
It's Blackcap.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
We're done. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. It's a new season. How the devil are we all? It's good to be back, and it's even better. We got 3 points. Before we start today, guys, as a lot of you will know, we lost one of our own last week. It's been 7 days since Steve passed away. I thought Jeff did a lovely little tribute to him on the podcast this week, but this is from me. You know, I started listening to ABW. Because I didn't have anybody to talk to Arsenal about it. And I quickly became a firm fan of the show. And Steve became a firm favourite of mine because whether I agreed with him or not, he just said it the way it was. You didn't have to agree with him. He would always, you know, accept your point of view. He became a great mate when I joined the show. It's a tribute to him that the day he got his results, I messaged him to ask him, you know, because he didn't really advertise it. And I asked him to see how he was doing. His exact words were, results weren't great, Jay. It's going to have some treatment. But never mind that, mate. How are you, pal? The more important, he said. You know, and that's who he was as a person. As a friend, you know, you'd have a laugh together. You'd argue with each other, you know. But it was always forgotten. Very quickly, became a really good mate. And he's left a massive gap in the groups. He's left a massive gap in, you know, he'd leave a voicemail every day. There'd be something. John used to play him to his mates because they were so funny. You know, me and John used to wind him up. I'd say something in the group with John would. We'd message each other privately and say, God, jump in there, jump on him. And, you know, we'd double team him and he'd bite and it'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, he was a loving father to his daughter. He was a great mate to all of us. He was a great podcaster. He was a proper Arsenal man. He loved this club. He loved this club more than anything. And I don't mind telling you, it's been a rough, rough week. I feel like crying now. I know, shed a few tears over Steve passing away, and I'm going to miss him an awful lot, and I think a lot of the boys are. So, you know, Steve, this whole frigging season is for you, mate. I hope you're better off where you are. I know the last few months were really tough for you, and we all feel for you, and we feel for your family. It's just one of those things. But onwards and upwards. Steve now would be saying, get on with it. Come on. Rest in peace, Lord Hillwood, because you were a fucking star, mate. An absolute star. And we love you and we miss you. So that's it, guys. On to the show. First in the box was Josh Page, the magnificent Josh Page. Then there was Jack Barr, Stephen Edwards piling in. Guna 93 was there. Ron Ree was there. But then it's us. It's us. Archie's there. Mayank Nagendran's there. Matthew D'Souza, Gunner 93, Josh, Marquis Hodges, David Marr, the magnificent David Marr, James McMurray's there, hello, Dave Michael's there, Cactus Jack 81, hello one and all, welcome to a new season. Yes, okay, it's a bit of a sad start, but onwards and upwards. Today I'm joined by my brother from another mother, it's the one and only, it's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
How are you doing, pal?
I'm good, mate. Yeah. Got a little bit emotional then at the start. I'm glad you said it because you did it with much better words than I could have. But lovely way to start off the season. 3 points, clean sheet away. I'm sure Steve will be up there somewhere smiling and telling us, as you said, to get on with it.
Do you know what you're thinking about now? You soppy bunch of twats.
Yeah, basically. You
know. And yes, it is a bit emotional, but the hey-ho. Alongside us today, to start the season off, we have the button monkey, the man from God Manchester, Danny GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, John. No. Hello, everyone.
You okay, bro?
I'm very good. Yeah, like John, that's very emotional. I couldn't have done that. I just go... Yeah, you lot, you and OG just did it, spoke for all of us. And I'm just looking at the rain pissing down out there and I'm thinking, oh, my shoulder's aching. That's the kind of world I live in. That's why if I start doing that, people, I'm not having a turn. I've got an arthritic shoulder and it aches me.
What a way to start. the other thing we've got to do, the magnificent Yvonne Okafor piles in with a donation. Solid win. Ugly win. Mind. Do hope the show is dedicated to Lord Hillwood. See you next match. Yvonne, the whole season is dedicated to Lord Hillwood. And we will be doing a Lord Hillwood Wonderland very soon. There's a tear in my eye still. So there you go. You know, but that's what he meant to us. So, you know. Newcastle away, guys. John, I'm going to come to you first. Lineups. Wow, what a strong bench. And Emery giving a chance to Nelson and Willock. And Chambers in the back. What were your thoughts?
It was a little bit disappointing to not see one of the new boys. I think everyone wanted to see a new signing start, but I get it. They haven't been at the club very long. So it does take some time to integrate. You want to go with players you know. I was glad Chambers started. I thought he had a really good pre-season. I know he was at Fulham and they got relegated, but I actually think he had a really good time there. And well, to be fair, a lot of time he's playing midfield, not in defence. But I like Chambers. I've got a lot of time for him. Kind of makes sense now why the Iwobi sale went through, because it gives players like Nelson a chance. So it's nice to see him given an opportunity. Willock as well, because of what's going on with Ozil and Kolasinac at the moment. Off the pitch, all that nonsense. So pretty strong lineup, but the bench, yeah, that's, I think they said on the commentary, that's like one of the strongest benches they've seen from an Arsenal team for such a long time. Because just from sort of back to front in terms of the players we could bring on, they're all either new exciting signings that we've spent a lot of money on or experienced players who know the league, you know, like David Luiz. So really, really pleased with the lineup, and most of all pleased, and I think I tweeted this, to see it was a back four and not five at the back, as we saw a lot away from home last season. So yeah, was excited and looking forward to the game and seeing especially what the youngsters could do.
Yeah, it was one of those lineups you wanted to see a Pepe, you wanted to see Luiz, you wanted to see somebody else. But to be fair, you know, he's gone with what he's gone with, and we've walked away with 3 points. So, you know, you can't knock it, really. Danny, Newcastle came out with the blocks, didn't they? You know, they really came at us, as you'd expect. What were your thoughts on those early parts of the game?
I think they had one plan, and that was to try and go out there. They saw we got Maitland-Niles, we had Willock, and we had Nelson. And there in the first half, they took a hell of a beating. They hold them, especially Maitland-Niles. I think everything they wanted to do was down our right-hand side, their left-hand side. And the three lads did really well. And I was really impressed with how often they would get kicked. They get straight back up again. A couple of times they give it back to them. Impressed with Mkhitaryan. I thought that was important, that he really seemed up for the game. The way he started off on the right-hand side, drifted in to the middle. I wasn't sure at first whether Guendouzi and Xhaka, what their plan was, but it seemed to be they were both doing the defensive role and both doing the central midfield role, and they were swapping around nicely. And like John was saying, Chambers, quite impressed with Chambers. Early on, he was covering at left-back for Monreal when he had gone somewhere. He was the one that seems to be going forward with the ball, because I think of his defensive midfield abilities that he's shown when he was at Middlesbrough and he was at Fulham. And Leno was really good in goal. But the one thing that did worry me about the first half was this new goal kick thing. I don't like that. I don't see why they've gone and changed it. But yeah, I think the first half for me definitely goes to Maitland-Niles.
Yeah, well, look, we'll get into that now. We'll get, you know, we get an early Aubameyang chance. John, we get some good work from AMN. And then we get Almiron diving in the box. And Atkinson, I felt a bit like the game. It was a bit of a roller coaster for him. But he didn't mess about. He went straight and booked him, didn't he?
Yeah, I was really pleased with that. Didn't need VAR. Knew straight away. To be fair, he was in a really, really good position. Called it. And I think the thing you'll see a lot more this season from referees, because they have got the VAR back up, if they're 100% on something straight away, they're just going to give it. And I think in this case, it was. It was obvious. It was blatant. You saw Xhaka at first. You could see, like, on the replay, it looked like he was going to stick his leg out, and he went, nope, pulled out of it. Almiron goes down really, really easy, and the referee got it bang on. Didn't need to review it or anything else. So I was pleased with that. And, I mean, from a Newcastle point of view, that must have been really frustrating, because he was definitely their, like, real bright spark and looked like the only one who was going to create anything, because he did cause us a few problems.
Yeah, he did, didn't he, you know? Danny, Aubameyang got caught offside quite a bit during the beginning of the game. It got a bit frustrating, didn't it?
I don't think it was the fact that he was trying was really good, and yeah. He had a chance in the first half to score. But I'd rather him get caught offside a few times than not make any attempts, like we've seen with other players in previous seasons, mainly the likes of Giroud, bless him. But he was often so far behind play. But Aubameyang was right on it the whole time. And I was thinking, those poor Newcastle defenders, they're going to be running around like blue arse flies, like my mum would say, when you've got those two, you've got Willock and Nelson, and you've got Aubameyang. At the time, with Ashley running down the right-hand side, you're going to be thinking, who are we meant to be covering? And then we're going to come to it later on. But when they brought on those other players, you were thinking, this is almost cruel. We've got so much pace coming from every direction. And if you try and go through the middle, Xhaka was going to get you. And then if you ended up getting through the middle, then you know you're going to get hurt by Socrates, because he wasn't taking any prisoners either. But it's just it was just so good to see everybody. The first half wasn't very good, but first game of the season, away from home, like Pablo's just said, clean sheet, away win, brilliant. But yeah, I was concerned at halftime. I was thinking changes need to be made because this doesn't look like it's going to be overly productive. And then it did.
We'll come on to the first half performance. John, you saw a good save from Leno, from Shelvey. Newcastle had their part of the game, didn't they? You know, they came to have a go at us.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty decent. The new guy they got up front, whose name I've got to look up.
Oh, Joelinton.
Joelinton, yeah. Not the quickest, but, you know, he's a big lump. He's physical, held the ball up well for him, and Almiron could play off that. You know, Shelvey's going to be a threat if the ball falls like that, and he did really well to the technique he got in it. It was great. But it looks like in the first half, I think like Danny said, like, you look, all our season we were slow in first halves. It's the first game of the season. There's been a lot of manager talk leading up to the start of the season talking about that players just don't have enough time off and that they're basically starting the season not fully fit. I think we looked fitter towards the end of the game. You could see Newcastle, to be fair, looked like they were lagging. And I just think it's a little bit of, for the players, they're almost still in pre-season. So they're not going to be as switched on, because there was passes going astray from both teams. You know, there were some silly little mistakes that was giving Newcastle an opportunity. They were doing the same thing for us. And I think in the end, it was just a matter of quality would see out, which is what happened in the game.
Yeah, the weather wasn't great either. You know, you've come off a nice bit of weather and then to that, you know, it's all going to add up. Dan, you saw Mkhitaryan blaze a shot over the bar. You know, he's in a really good position and he just seemed over-eager at it. It kind of summed up his game a little bit, didn't it? He was in a good position, but the end product was poor.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit, he was, at times he was covering for when the younger two on the left and in the middle, he was covering for those when they went off and did other things or when they were busy being kicked. But he did grab at that goal. It looked like he wasn't ready in the right position to take the strike at goal, went over the top right-hand corner of the goal. And I thought, if you'd have just taken an extra second on that, not an extra touch, just a little bit, compose yourself before you take it. But then again, when you're on the edge of the box and you've got players all around you, sometimes you just need to grab at these chances when you get it. And if that would have come off, we'd have been going, wow, magnificent. But it didn't. But I think he was quite impressive. He did seem up for it, which so many times last season we all had been down on him, saying that he just wasn't up for the game. But today he seemed really up for it for the entire game. And for overall, I think he was probably, for me, our second best player of the game behind Maitland-Niles.
He worked hard, to be fair to him. He did work hard.
And his ability to swap wings as well, which he did in the second half, swapped over to the left when Pepe came on.
Well, we'll come on to that in a bit, mate. John, you know, Lascelles on Willock, he held him back, took him down when Willock is in an attacking position. Atkinson's right in front of him. He'd just given Nelson a yellow card for a late challenge. He's clearly pulling the player back by the shirt. He's clearly stopping an attacking opportunity. Why doesn't Lascelles get a yellow card there?
Ask Atkinson.
I'm just asking them, because
you're right. It should be a booking. Look, you're never going to iron out inconsistencies. Saw it all last season. Hopefully, it's better this season. There's a couple of challenges that Arsenal players put in that probably could have got bookings as well. it never works out quite in your favour. The whole, does it balance out over a season? I don't know. Probably not. Look, at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain too much because we won the game and we got away with it. Yeah, but yeah, it's frustrating. You would hope the referees would keep consistency throughout.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dan, you get Dubrovnik, or I can't remember his pronunciation name. I do apologise to him. Saves a shot from Aubameyang. It was straight at him, but it was a really good break. And we were struggling to really, you know, penetrate that Newcastle defence, weren't we?
Yeah, they were playing very compact. And occasionally when they did make a run, then we try and get them on the counter-attack, and it wasn't really working out in the first half. And I was getting a bit worried. I thought they could be... there's a pigeon drinking from a paddle. I've just been distracted.
Oh, Jesus wept.
I thought it was a squirrel.
10 minutes in?
New season.
Are we 10 minutes in already? And he's already looking at pigeons on the street.
I was looking at the Opta stats for the first half, and their goalkeeper got the highest rating out of all 22 players on the pitch. I think that says a lot about his performance for them. He was pretty good. They've always had away Newcastle of picking up goalkeepers that play really well. We had that one a couple of years ago, didn't we? Krull, another one. We thought he came in for a game. We thought, actually, Krull's in goal. We're going to be banging in goals here, and he had the game of his life. And I think Newcastle have a habit of doing that. He looked pretty good. But yeah, it was unlucky for the player, though.
Marcus Hodges puts in the box there. Lol, classic Danny. Matthew D'Souza puts in, Danny, a.k.a. Blowers, the famous summer cricket commentator. And I know what you mean, pal. I really do. Oh, God. I can't believe it. I can't believe he's done it already. You get Mkhitaryan having a yellow card then after Isaac Hayden stopped an Arsenal attack with some great... a couple of great challenges. John, then Almiron shot over. You know, it kind of summed up the first half, didn't it?
Yeah, there wasn't any real... I don't like the best chances was like Aubameyang's and Shelvey's. And even then, they kind of... A lot of that came from either mistakes from the opposition team or from us. And there wasn't enough finesse. Like, the final pass was never there from anyone. No one was really being particularly aggressive. Both teams were quite cautious, I thought, in what they were doing. And the players as well, they all seemed to be playing a little bit within themselves. No one really sort of, you know, it was all a bit second gear.
It was. I mean, Mkhitaryan lost possession 15 times in the first half.
Yeah.
My notes on the first half are sloppy, not a lot of discipline, we weren't... So somebody's wide, they're not holding the fullbacks out wide, you know, they're coming in too early. Not a lot of zip to the game. The midfield is just holding on to the ball far too long. Not great penetration. And as Josh said in the group, there seemed to be no chemistry up front, did there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Mkhitaryan was... He was okay in pass, like when he was taking on players, he seemed okay. But again, his final pass or his decision with the ball was what let him down today. He played in one really nice ball, which gave Aubameyang a chance, which Dubrovnik made the save from. But you've got him one side not playing at his best. You've got Nelson, who's hardly played with Aubameyang. And look, I really like Nelson, and I think he's going to be... a really promising talent going forwards, and obviously he's got a lot of developing to do. But he seemed to play within himself today. I thought there was a couple of times where he could have just opened his legs a little bit and just gone, you know what, I'm going to knock it past the fullback or the centre back and just try run past them and use that bit of pace. And he was playing it a little bit safe and a little bit slow. And maybe if you started with Lacazette and Aubameyang and changed the system slightly, you'd have that chemistry there. But you've got a lot of players who haven't interacted and played together. Also, Willock in behind them as well. You know, it's not Mesut Ozil, it's not Iwobi, it's not Ramsey, it's none of these guys who've played consistently together. So it's difficult to get that fluidity early on in the season, especially with the lineup we had today.
Yeah, I think that's fair play. Yeah, I thought Willock did well, but I get really frustrated at the Xhaka and Guendouzi. They both have a wonderful skill set on them, can pass the ball. But all it's always two or three touches too many, you know, and that frustrates me. Dan, Second half kicks off. Aubameyang gets a chance from Xhaka, but fires wide. This is a point where Xhaka put a lovely through ball in, and you just wanted Aubameyang to do a little better, didn't you?
Yeah, but you always know that he's going to get more chances because not only has he got great eye for goal, he's got the speed to get him in and out of it. He's got the ability to play in any one of the front four positions, and you know that you're going to get more chances. And that with Lacazette having his slight knock from the Barcelona game, that you were probably going to, Aubameyang was going to play the entire game, which was important because you do need to have that threat the entire thing. And he kept on running, and he got man of the match from the TV commentators, which was good for him. But yeah, I think it takes a little while because playing pre-season football is different from playing Premier League football, isn't it? There's nothing matters about pre-season football, which is why no one cared when Pape got sent off. But when you start playing the Premier League games and you're playing away and at a place where we haven't done that well historically, I was quite surprised when we did the preview show about how many games we've lost against Newcastle in the top flight football. So yeah, it would have been nice if he'd have got it on target, but I wasn't worried because I thought he was going to have plenty more chances, and he did.
Yeah, he did. John, all that play came from a quick distribution by Leno, already showing, his value to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Danny alluded to earlier, the new rule with the weird thing, our defenders being allowed to be in the box when the goalkeeper kicks out.
Yeah.
Just confused the hell out of me. And I had to go and quickly check the rule book. I thought Axon had just forgot how to play football for a minute. That's why you should always, I know it's boring, but always read the rule book for a new season because there's always something weird they throw in now. But just his distribution, one or two passes went astray, but the majority of the time, he's quick thinking, his passing's really good, he throws it out really well. And it's such an advantage because we do like to, we are all about playing in transition and quickly, and that's where I guess best goals come from. And today it was, breaking up a play in quick transition, which is what got us the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, we won a corner. I can't remember who took it, whether it was Mkhitaryan. I'm not sure. I do apologise. Xhaka heading wide. Oh, it went straight across the face of the goal, didn't it? He was a bit unlucky there.
Yeah, it was a bit unlucky. The corners was on the right-hand side as in the second half. It was Mkhitaryan taking them. But on the left-hand side, I think it was either Willock or Nelson. It's going to take a while before I get their names right. But I was quite surprised at the number of corners that one of those two was taking because it's all new to me. And it didn't help when those two swapped places as well. Because I was going, right, you got Nelson on the wing, you got Willock playing in behind. And then they moved around and then I was all confused. But yeah, at least it's nice that, did you say Xhaka had the shot on goal?
The header, yeah.
Yeah, the header. Yeah. So that's when the game was starting to speed up for me and Newcastle looked like they were flagging a little bit. And I thought, all we need now is to bring on a little bit of pace, a bit of more energy, because Newcastle looked like they were struggling. And when you're letting Xhaka have a header like that, if it wasn't for their goalkeeper, I think we could have had 4 or 5 today. At times, we looked really good. And it's a good opening to the season. I'm really chuffed with it. And I thought, oh, God, the show's going to be awful if we don't win. There's going to be names taken and bums smacked. But
oh, to be fair, right. Let's be honest, it's been a crap week. Nobody's been very happy of it, So if we'd have lost today, it would have been, I'd have had a black cap on and everything. But as it happens, we didn't lose. John, I don't particularly think it's a misplaced pass, but Maitland-Niles sees the ball coming across field, and boy, he was like a bullet out of the blocks, wasn't he? He put in the interception, drove strongly down the side, and put in a fantastic ball for Aubameyang.
Yeah, I think it was, I'm not sure now, I think it was Dummett maybe, who tried to play the ball out to the new guy who came on, Willem, new signing for Newcastle. And Willem, to be fair, probably should have stepped towards the ball, but Maitland-Niles anticipated it brilliantly, took it in his stride, just one knock forward. And then he did something that we always ask for and generally don't get. He's just putting the ball in early. He looked up, saw Aubameyang going into space, just went, right, I haven't got to do anything. I haven't got to run all the way to the byline. I haven't got to run to the 18-yard box, check back and bring it back out. He just put the ball in first time, Aubameyang will just do the rest. And it's a lovely touch. And the finish on it is just brilliant. Just to knock it round the keeper, really, really good finish. It's great. Alba carries on the scoring run. Look, we had criticisms of him last season, despite the fact he was joint top goal scorer. He will miss chances. You know, he had a couple other chances in the game. But like Danny said, his positioning and his running and his movement is so, so good that he will always get more chances in the game, which is why he gets the goals. Really pleased for Maitland-Niles as well. You know, Bellerin is going to be back at some point, but we really don't have any cover on that right-hand side. So he's kind of grown into that position more and more. I think he's more versatile than that. He can play more than just that position. But I thought he had a decent game when he had, you know, he had an overlapping wing back. He had Almiron coming that side. He had the big centre forward pulling onto him at times as well. So really, really pleased for him.
Yeah, I thought Amen did very well today. I think, you know, I think there's been a lot of criticism of him in pre-season, which has, you know, look, the own goal against Barca was just one of those. It happens. It's a brain fart, you know. But I think a lot of the criticism of him has been unfounded. You know, it's a bit like Aubameyang. He gets loads of grief. You know, goal scorers do miss chances. That's just the way of the world, you know. But this is a great bit of interplay between the pair of them. And I think the important part is, as you said, he played the ball in early. You know, there was none of this, I'm going to take it on for too long, which I think we suffer from quite a lot. It's get the ball in early, let the pace do the damage. Danny, your thoughts on the goal, mate?
Make sure I unmute myself because I was busy tapping away. The goal, I can't remember the goal. I know Aubameyang scored it. Talk me through it.
Okay. I've just done it once. I can't believe it. It blows.
I'm busy doing all the tweets and reading and pressing buttons on
things. You were looking at the pitch again, weren't you?
The pitch's gone. I think it fell in.
It'd be catch the pigeon, wouldn't it?
The ball came over and he caught the ball and he turned and he spanked it past the keeper, didn't he?
Well, yeah, AMN intercepts a crossfield ball.
Oh, that's it. I remember now. I remember thinking, hold on, how did we get the ball? I was thinking, and they replayed it, and I thought they were coming down the left hand side of their player, and then Ashley come from nowhere, went, thank you very much, I'll have that. Straight down the right-hand side, crossed it for Aubameyang, and Aubameyang went, thank you very much. I'll just put this in, shall I make it 1-0? And Ashley went, go on then, son, off you go. And he did it, and we scored, and it was great. And I thought, here we go, the floodgates are going to open, and we're going to be scoring lots of goals, but we didn't. But it's still good. It's really good. I'm very happy with it. So of all the players I wanted to score, he was the most important one that I wanted to score the goal, because for him to get start off the season with a goal, our main goal-scoring threat, that's really good, because especially some players really got a leap on him. I mean, ahead of him, haven't I, in the goal-scoring charts. But it's terrible that I forgot. I'm doing so many things. I'm not just sitting here picking me toes, people. I'm pressing buttons. I'm clicking mouses. I'm trying to not look out the window at the pigeons.
What can I say? John, the goal gave us confidence. So you saw Aubameyang with some magical footwork in the corner then. And we see, you know, all of a sudden our tails were up, weren't they?
Yeah, it, you know, it's always going to be a case, and this is something we probably get used to throughout the season. It did happen a little bit last year. The teams are going to not be massively open against us because it's a really bad idea because we are good enough to pass through them. Although, yes, all right, fair enough, first half we weren't fully at the races. But the moment you get that goal, Newcastle have got to come out a little bit. There's a bit more confidence in the team. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we've got Aubameyang. We know if we get him the ball, he's going to score a goal. Maitland-Niles' confidence lifts, or like the younger guys in the team, Nelson, gets a little bit more confident in the ball, as does Willock. And it just, everyone sort of eases into the season a little bit. Sometimes it can take, you know, 2-3 games to really get into the full flow of things and get back into it. So it's just perfect for us. It came at the right time. I think the Newcastle sub helped us as well, which threw him off a little bit off balance. I'm not sure why Shelvey came off, to be honest, because I thought he was one of Newcastle's better players in midfield, but it helped us out anyway. So, yeah, really, really good work from Maitland-Niles, and it's exactly what you'd expect from Aubameyang, just ice-cold finish.
Yeah, it's great to watch. You know, right, then we have Willock get taken off for Ceballos. Danny, what do you think of Joe Willock's performance today?
Before we say that, Cactus Catch Richard, who's been on here a few times, has managed to screen grab me saying something and you two, your hands in your head like this. And he's put on Twitter, only Danny could get this reaction from Jason and John. Cheers, Richard, you shitbag. I was really impressed with them. Josh, during the preview show yesterday, called it and said that those two would be starting, whereas I said Ceballos would be playing, and I thought that Lacazette would be starting. So Josh got that exactly right. So Andy got Chambers right, but don't tell him we said that because he'll never shut up about it. Oh, yeah, no, he's not in the chat box. Don't know where he is. Probably out strolling around with a little T-shirt on saying, look at me, I'm right with my translucent legs. So I was really happy for them. But it's important that they get to start some games in the Premier League early on, because once everyone's back and fully fit, I don't think they're going to get many chances where they're going to be starting games in the Premier League. They're mainly going to be cup games, especially the Europa League games, depending on who we get drawn in that competition. But they were nice, especially that I like the fact they were getting kicked and they were getting up. They weren't rolling around and going, oh, look, you've kicked me, I'm telling my mum, or something like teenagers do nowadays. No, they were really good. It's really... it's nice to see players that we have all heard about over the last 3 or 4 years when I do the reserves and the roundups and all that kind of stuff. It's nice to see them come to fruition. And there's a few more to come through as well, like John Jules and Saka. And and who's the centre-back? Whose name I cannot remember. Him. Zach Medley. There you go. Thanks for no one helping me out there. Because it's important. In years to come, we aren't going to be able to go out and spend £150 million every transfer window. We're going to be relying on our youth players coming through the under-18s, under-23s, and then playing for the first team. And this has shown that in the last 4 or 5 years, things have been working, because how many players have we had come through? I mean, today we had 3 that were starting that have come through our academy, which is brilliant.
Wow, it's one of those things. Everybody's having a pop at my bloody camera here. I tell you, Los Les is having a go... Thomas and Norway's jumping on. What can we do? What can we do? We live where we live.
You met Wales. Yeah, but you got the window behind you, so you ain't going to be looking at no pigeons drinking out of no paddles, are you? I'm doomed. My window's over there.
Jesus, I tell you, it's the first show of the season. I'm losing the will to live already. It's bonkers. John Almiron then has a shot deflected from a corner. We weren't great at that, were we? You know, they took us by surprise there. We weren't alive at that corner, were we?
No, not really. And it was well-worked routine. Obviously, something they'd done from the training ground. There was a good little bit of movement, but we got away with it. I thought, all in all, to be fair, the defence was pretty good today. There was one or two times, that one being one of the examples, in where set pieces were a little bit off. Again, Chambers and Socrates, how much have they actually played together? You know, Monreal probably wouldn't have been starting the game if Kolasinac was available. There's a chance David Luiz maybe comes into the team and might be first choice. You know, and Maitland-Niles isn't our first choice right back either. So I thought overall the defence did really well today. But yeah, look, this is the thing with the Premier League. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, you're always going to get an opponent who's going to create a chance or two. There's no way to stop it. It doesn't matter. It does always happen. So you just try and hold your luck and see if you can get away from it.
Fantastic. Daniel Kupka just piles in with a donation. I think a Czech krona, Daniel. Thank you ever so much. You're an absolute rock star. We really appreciate it. And Don One, I fell for it. I did have a look. I really did. Then you get San Maximin, whatever his name is, the guy with the headband, Cobra Kai on the Tyneside there.
Oh, you shitbag, I was going to say. That looks like he's been watching the new Karate Kid. He's got a dead cat on his head.
Yeah, it was, you know, what could I say? He fouls Xhaka exactly the same way that Nelson got his booking earlier on, and no booking again. I got a bit frustrated with that. I really, really did.
Does. It is very annoying. And I think some of our players were getting quite annoyed with the inconsistency of the referee. And I'm not really one to moan about referees. It's not something I really overly care about unless it's really important. But yeah, it is. I think with all the new stuff going on, and then they even announced the referee who was doing the VAR. I didn't know that it was an actual referee that did that. And they even announced the names of all of them before the game in case you want to go and get them back after. But yeah, it must get quite annoying because the referee can't see everything. And just because you think you've been hard done by, I mean, I always think that it's pointless shouting at the referee because the referee never goes, actually, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to bother. Thanks for pointing that out. No, don't say anything to them. They don't care.
Yeah, I agree. John, then you see Nelson replaced by Pepe. and our big money signing comes on. Now, we've got to give this time a little bit of time to guy a little bit of time to settle in, you know. Were you excited at this point?
I was excited to see him because I thought there's a chance that he could get on the ball and maybe run at the Newcastle defence and stuff, maybe exploit some of the spaces that were open up behind him. But he didn't really have an opportunity, so you can't really judge him on this. Look, I've been honest about him in the pre-season show I did. I haven't seen a lot of him. Chris has raved about him for ages. There's so many people on Twitter who, before we were even linked with him, were talking about him and saying, like, this is the guy you want to go and get. If you want to get a winger, go and get him. Don't look at Zaha or anything else. Spend the extra money, get it there. And look, from the list of clubs that were looking at him, the fact he decided to choose us is great. And I hope it all works out. And that is big pressure on him because it's a lot of money we've spent. But you've got to give him time. It's not going to just be like hit the ground running and you're off. Sometimes players can take a season. I hope it doesn't take that long. I hope it's, you know, a few weeks and he's settled in and he's great. But he's still very young. He's got a long way to go. It might just be a case that maybe the league is a little bit too physical for him at first. He needs to bulk up, those kind of things. That's normal, transitioning from one league to another. But there was one little flash where I can't remember exactly what he did, but he just sent a player one way and then came inside. And he only laid it off like a 2-3 yard pass. But it was just a really nice little feint and stuff. And it was just, oh, okay, yeah, he's pretty cool under composure. And another point as well where he tracked back with his runner really well. So it was like, okay, he's putting the effort in. It's only, you know, 10 minutes. So it's hard to judge off that, but we'll see how he does for the season. So I'm excited to see more of him, definitely, because the idea of seeing him, Lacazette and Aubameyang as a front three, especially if Aubameyang and Pepe are the two wider players, that's terrifying for any team to face with the pace they've got.
It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting times. Yeah. Dan, I think we've got to remember as well, you know, one of the club greats, Bobby Pires, it took him a year to settle in. It took him a whole season to settle into the Premier League. So, you know, we have to play a waiting game with a couple of these guys. Danny Ceballos, he started to come into the game more. I thought he was a bit shocked by the pace of the Premier League when he first came on, but then he started to settle into it and you saw some nice footwork from him, didn't you?
Yeah, and he was even running like round. I'm not going to say the R word because we don't want to upset you, but he is even running and jogging back the same way Ramsey did and getting around the... I've said the R word, bloody. Yeah, so he seems to slot in there really well. I noticed in a couple of the pre-season friendlies that he was very clear in what his job was. Get the ball from either Torreira, Xhaka, Guendouzi, which one is, and then get the ball and then go and spread it out either to the wings or to the striker or whoever's going to be up ahead of you. I don't want to see a player like him drifting back like when Ramsey used to have to do it constantly. Go back into the centre of our deep into our midfield, pick the ball up and even go back there to do defending or pick the ball up and bring it back out again. Hopefully he won't be doing that. Hopefully it'll be the two that are going to play behind him, whoever it's going to be, Torreira, Xhaka, Guendouzi, any combination of those, they'll give the ball to him because you can't expect him, like we were expecting for so long with Ramsey, that he is the one, if nothing was happening, Ramsey is the one who would have to go get the ball, then bring the ball out, then try and attack with the ball. And that was so much to ask from one player. And it feels like he's going to, from what we saw today and what I've seen the pre-season, he's going to do that job really, really well. And it's really nice to see that we get a lone player who isn't broken as soon as we've got him. So we've had it's the first one out of the last three that wasn't knackered. Yeah, and I'm quietly confident that he's going to do a really good job for us.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, he looks great on the ball, to be fair to him. John, you see confusion at the back. Leno has to come to head out. It was long ball stuff, but it caused us some issues there. You also saw us, thought we were bang average from throw-ins today. Not a lot of effort, not a lot of movement. You know, a little bit worrying. It's the beginning of the season. I know the conditions aren't great, but we didn't seem to have an exit strategy at any point, did we?
Yeah, there's a few times. Funny enough, Nicky Wilson mentioned that in the chat as well about the throw-ins. We were just slow to do anything, I thought, a couple of times today. Everybody, like I said earlier, everyone was playing it very safe and no one really wanted to move too much. I wanted a little bit more, and this is not me knocking Willock or Nelson because I thought they both had fine games and they've got long, long careers ahead of them, so they'll definitely play better. But I wanted a little bit more from both of them today. I thought they could be a bit more adventurous just because you are younger and you're expected, people kind of expect you to make mistakes. So, like, being able to sort of have that kind of excuse in your locker is nice. Like, just go out there and try and do something, improve yourself, especially now, because like Danny said, when Pepe's fully integrated and you've got Mkhitaryan, you've got Ozil when he's back and he's available as well, it's going to be really hard for those two to get into the team. So I wanted them to grab the game by the scruff of the neck a little bit more today. But it's not just on there. Mkhitaryan wasn't today. I didn't think he played great. And Xhaka and Guendouzi were a little slow to react to anything in midfield, just from our set pieces. Just, you know, just receive the ball and turn out and play it to the other side. Simple stuff.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Dan, we then see Mkhitaryan replaced by Martinelli. I really like the look of this kid. He's got bags of pace and he's direct. What were your thoughts on Martinelli today?
Oh, he's more of a striker than anything else, but in pre-season he has been playing on the left-hand side. And when I saw him warming up, I thought, oh, no, don't take Aubameyang off. Aubameyang's our biggest threat. You all know how much everybody loves him. And then he came on, he played on the left-hand side, and immediately, I mean, when Pepe was playing, I was like this, looking at the screen, thinking, I'm going to watch every foot movement that Pepe does, and I'm waiting, he's going to pull off some magic. And as soon as he goes, he's bang, he's off. Didn't really do too much of that, because I think they were aware of just the kind of player that he was, because a lot of the players who play for Newcastle have played in the French League in recent years. And then Martinelli came and went down the left-hand side, and wow, he was off. And he was interested. And one thing I did notice, we had an old headlight, I think it was Mkhitaryan, no, Xhaka, when Xhaka got fouled near the corner flag.
Yeah.
And then Martinelli went, hold on, I've got the ball. But he put his foot on the ball. He might as well have got his little general and slapped him around the face of it and going, oi, I've got my foot on the ball. I'm deciding what we're doing here. You're barely out of nappies, son. You're telling Xhaka what he is and isn't going to do. I thought that's the kind of enthusiasm we want at the club. I was really, really pleased with that. And I'm very surprised that he actually came in and played a game. I don't know if he did that because we've got players out injured, like Lacazette, you couldn't really bring him on. But for him to come on and play that game and not be overawed by it, I think he is, like you were saying, he's a really special player. I mean, we signed Edu's son as well?
No. I did not know that. No, I didn't know that.
His 15-year-old son is now part of the academy.
Oh.
Yeah, I read it on George Bird's site that he was going to be signing any day now because he's underage. Yeah, but that's another young Brazilian we got. But looks like we've picked up a bargain there, 6 million quid. I mean, you couldn't even get a pair of old used Premier League socks for 6 million quid nowadays, can you?
That's the truth part. John, we see a Pepe cross well defended by Newcastle, and then they started to throw the kitchen sink at it. You know, you know you're away at a passionate place like that. They're going to come at you in the last 5 minutes. I thought Xhaka was really, really sharp in the way he won the free kick in the corner, as Danny said. I was a bit disappointed in Ceballos and Martinelli at the free kick. You know, they needed to do it a little bit better there. But then we had Dubravka save from Aubameyang again. You know, he got in the head of the ball. We weren't really seeing the game out with confidence, were we?
It was weird because I think if the exact same pattern of the game happens, you know, 3-4 weeks' time from now, and it was against Newcastle, same thing again. I think Newcastle do throw more at it. They almost had to be sort of spurred on by the crowd. They kind of not had given up, but they weren't really going for it. It wasn't until like the last, you know, we were in injury time when Lascelles went up front and stuff like that. You've seen plenty of games in previous seasons where they'll throw centre-backs up front with 10 minutes to go and really start just hammering balls in the box. And considering that, to be fair, Joel Linton for them won most of his headers today, you thought they would have gone for it a bit earlier, but yeah, both teams just kind of, it just sort of fizzled out a little bit. I thought we could have just kept the ball better, just been a bit more sensible on it. Like, there's a few times where we went for like a glory pass and stuff to get a break and maybe get a goal, which if it works out is great. But then there's other times you think, just keep the ball, you know, get the Newcastle players, they run back, keep the ball, knock it to the back again, and then just start again and just hold possession and just keep them, just wear them down. But look, it worked out in the end. I thought the defence overall today did pretty well and dealt with everything as best they could against a guy who's new to the league. But to be fair, I think most defences are going to have a real tough time handling him.
Okay. That was the game. That was the game. Now, chat box, I do apologise. I let you down in half time. I didn't perform in the way the boys expect me to. And I apologise for that. But there are 150 of you currently watching this, and I got 48 likes. 48 likes. You'll all have a moan about Mustafi. You'll all have a moan about Mkhitaryan. You will, won't you? You really will. I can't believe that. He's just put that up on the screen. You know, you moan about anybody, but will you fucking perform yourselves? No, you won't. No, you won't. You're not coming here and, you know, giving it large, are you? No, you're not. 58, that's not good enough. Where the hell do you think you are? This is ABW. This is a Bergkamp Wonderland, okay? This is ABW Live. We've even got Chris Carpenter on the screen for you. Now get clicking that like button, please. I don't come on you for 48 friggin' likes. Honestly, you're embarrassing yourselves. You're embarrassing your families. And it's just shameful. It's shameful. Honestly, you know, we've had a tough week this week, okay, Redo? And to come on here for 48 likes, I feel dirty. I feel dirty. Pablo Amar, you feel ashamed of yourself. I really, really respect that. You've admitted that. Come on. You know, we've had Indie Chris on the screen for you lot. Now get on there and smash that like button. Mike Hernandez, you are excused from that. Come on.
Danny, don't ever, ever do that again. That was, oh, Jesus Christ.
There's somebody waiting at the airport.
Where did I find that picture of me in the bath? That's coming out, unless we get 1,000 likes.
We will put the picture of Danny in the bath up. That was the one where Rob Beckett was on the pod, wasn't he? And Danny showed him the picture of himself in the bath, and it's ultra disturbing. It's like, oh, God. There are people who pay for that, mind you. They really are.
Yeah. Oh. So who knew Danny was going to be the next PewDiePie? There you go. Look at that. That was like watching a PewDiePie video. That was amazing, Danny. You've outdone yourself, though, because you're never going to top that now for the rest of the season.
No. And we don't know how to do it, so thank God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologise in advance, chat box, for anyone who's not listening. Danny just flashed a load of graphics on the screen if you're just listening to this and not watching. But you're not going to get that when I'm running the show because I don't know how to do any of that stuff. Danny's far too technology advanced for the rest of us.
Same here. Darren Clifford, you're excused as well. He's just like, I appreciate that. 70, can't, that's not good enough, guys. 100, please. 100. Right, before we go on to questions, guys, your thoughts, overall thoughts on the game. You know, it's first game of the season. It's 3 points in the bag. You've got to give the guys credit, I think. You know, it's not an easy place to go, St. James's Park. How do you feel about it? John, you start off.
All I wanted today was win. The clean sheet is really nice bonus on top. I think that's great. We got to see some of the new players, not for as long as we wanted, but it's about getting results and getting points on the board right now. excuse me. Like I said, it's going to take a few games to get all the fitness and everything like up to scratch. I've seen a few people saying, well, look at City and Liverpool. Look, let's be honest with ourselves. We are not Man City and we are not Liverpool at the moment. They're a good level above us. We can try and achieve it and keep with them as much as we can. And I hope we do. And, you know, I'm trying to be more optimistic this season than I have been in previous ones. But that's a real tough bar sort of to measure ourselves by. Give it a few more games. Hopefully we carry on with the four at the back and we don't see the five at the back again thing, that creeping back into the team. When we get to see Aubameyang, Pepe and Lacazette play together, I think it's going to be fantastic. I hope it brings the best out of Ozil as well. So, yeah, really pleased today, especially pleased for Callum Chambers, who I think a lot of people really wrote off, who I thought was probably one of our best players today.
Yeah, we're going to have a look at the defence, midfield and attack in a second. Danny, you need to get a pigeon.
pigeon. Jim!
You really do. I don't know what the hell is going on here now. We've lost the plot. Your thoughts on the game, Dan? You know, it's a good 3 points, isn't it?
I was listening to what John said. I wasn't pressing any buttons, and I agree with everything that he said. When you look at the fact that if you get our entire squad fully fit, 7 of those players today would debatably not be playing in that game. So considering it's an away game, we're not always good when it's away games. I mean, I think the commentator said that we didn't get an away win last season until November. So that's that monkey off of our back. That's our pigeon out of a puddle. We're going to be perfectly fine. And when we get all these other players coming back, it's going to be good to know that if any of them do get injured, we've got people to deputise. And as much as I keep saying Maitland-Niles isn't a right back, he's doing a bloody good job as a right back, isn't he? For me, he was magnificent today. And he is a worry when he's managed to combine his ability to run with the ball and he is learning the trade of defending, which quite a few, I was thinking over our time at Arsenal, there's been quite a few players that have come to the club and started at one thing, like Lauren started as a right winger or right midfielder, ended up being a magnificent right back. So hopefully there is previous to this sort of thing can be done. I'm really happy with it. Couldn't expect for more. And if we'd have got away with a draw today, I'd have been quite happy. But come away with a win and a clean sheet is fantastic.
Yeah, we didn't get one away clean sheet last season. So, you know, that's great. John, defensively, Leno looked solid. I thought Nacho looked quite decent, okay? Not a huge influence in the game, but his legs looked better than they did at the end of last season. So Kratis was solid, to be fair to him. I thought Chambers looked good. And I thought Maitland-Niles looked good. Your thoughts?
I thought they did really well. Struggled a little bit in the air against Joelinton, but I thought he had a really good game for Newcastle, to be fair. I thought Chambers was probably the best of the bunch. Just what I like about Callum Chambers is he's pretty calm on the ball and he knows when to clear it. I love playing out from the back. It's beautiful. It's great to watch. It looks very silky if a defender can turn one way and then the other and carry the ball out or pass it out nicely. That's great. I'm all for it. But sometimes you do just have to clear your lines. And he's got that sort of no-nonsense mentality about him. Socrates was fine. Talked him through the game. Monreal actually looked half decent. I was pleased that old Cobra Kai headband Gucci boy didn't play down the right-hand side, to be fair, against Nacho. Because that could have caused a few problems because he is quick. And Maitland-Niles, as Danny said, look, he's come in, he's always really played as a midfielder. He's done a few, season and a half now at right back, essentially. Played the majority of these games there. So he's certainly grown into the position. So really pleased. The fact you've got Hector coming back, you've got Bob Holding coming back into the team. Mustafi, we're not sure whether he's staying or going. I don't know, there's possibility there. You've got David Luiz, who I know some people are scared about, but I actually quite like him. I think he's a good signing.
You'll come on to that.
So, yeah, I thought defence was really good today. And Leno as well. Another really good performance.
Yeah. Dan, the midfield, I thought Willock was decent. I thought Guendouzi and Xhaka, you saw good things from them, but they didn't kind of move the ball quickly enough for my liking. But, you know, again, Guendouzi's, 20? You know, he's still developing as a player, and we know that Xhaka likes to, you know, ponder on the ball at times, but, you know, they didn't seem overrun, did they?
No, I was thinking about this, the problem with those two. I don't think, as a player, you have a natural instinct to do what you are most comfortable with. And I don't think either of those are most comfortable with playing in that, just ahead of the two central defenders, taking the ball off of them and passing it around, trying to stop people when they're breaking through the midfield. And I think that does show at times when they're going, are you going to go or am I going to go? Am I staying back or are you staying back? When you've got someone like Torreira there who knows, I'm staying here, this is my job, this circle is where I'm staying. Anybody comes into this circle, they're mine. Not like a zonal playing kind of game, but and I think we have seen that far too often. Both of those players don't work well together because they want to go forward, and I think that could be a problem. And so we need to. I don't think we'll see much of those two playing together this season. I think Guendouzi is going to be the one that is going to lose out quite often. Although I do like Guendouzi, but he is he played so many times last season. He didn't score any Premier League goals. Scored one goal in all the competitions that he played in. So I think that's why. I mean, Inter Milan have apparently made a £50 million offer for Xhaka with, or €50 million euro offer with €15 million in add-ons after. And you think that is a lot of money to turn down. So somebody at the club must really rate Xhaka to not let him go to Inter Milan like that.
Okay. John, attack. I think it was disjointed at times. We didn't get the ball up quickly enough to them, though. So, you know, it's a big ask. We saw some bright sparks from them. But again, as you said, they haven't really played together much. I think it's going to get a lot better as the season rolls on. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we'll definitely get better with the season going on. You'll get Lacazette back in the team. Ozil will be back. Hopefully all that stuff that's going on with him and Kolasinac gets sorted out quickly, and you know, nothing stupid happens from it. I like the two young boys. I think Nelson's got a lot to offer. He was too quiet today, though. He could have done more and just been a bit more expressive with the ball and just tried to take players on. I think he played it a bit safe. Willock, every time he got the ball, looked really comfortable. Didn't look phased at all. Played a little bit too high, but again, that might not be him. That might be the manager telling him to do that. I thought Aubameyang was excellent throughout the game. Ran the channels really well. Always offered himself. Always showing really good movement. Mkhitaryan was disappointing, ultimately. He's experienced enough. He should know better and should do better. But look, the manager likes him. He has his consistencies in terms of tracking back, at least. And whether he stays in the team or not, I don't know. He's got this is the thing now. We've got real competition in those areas this season. You know, Martinelli, who you already spoke about, I thought looks really promising for his age. He's impressive considering how young he is. You've got Pepe coming in as well. If Lacazette is in the team, then you know Alba's going to move to one of the wider positions. So there's a lot of options out there. So you're going to have to play really well to get in the team now, which is great.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives to look forward to. I think for me, my overriding takeaway from the game is you saw Greg's just piled in with a donation and he's in a good mood by the looks of it. So that's really, really good. Thank you very much, Greg. You're a rock star. When Heerman won the ball, when he intercepted, he played an early ball. Okay, he got it moving. He got Aubameyang on it early doors. And I think, you know, the rest of our attack and midfield need to look at that. You know, let's get the ball moving forward quickly. Let's get up to support the guys up top and, you know, and be mindful in defence, obviously. But, you know, you can allocate those duties to people. But, I think that was my overriding sort of takeaway from it. I wish the likes of Mkhitaryan, Nelson as well, and all these guys, you look at the way Yeomen just, right, I'm on it, drive, bang, let's go. You know, let's get those passes in early. And let's leave out danger, guys. Be a danger.
Mkhitaryan did it for that one chance in the first half, didn't he? Where I think Xhaka won the ball back. Mkhitaryan just looked up, saw Aubameyang had pulled off his man and just played it first time.
Yeah.
Lovely ball in, and you know, he got his shot off and Dubrovnik made the save. So he's got the ability and he's got the intelligence. He was just hit and miss today. And he's one of those players, he's frustrating. I know he's had a lot of stick, but hopefully that competition that's in the squad now will improve him. And the big, big bonus for me, I know lots of people are worried about Luiz, but I did just want to say this. If there is a player in the Premier League who can hit a long ball or a diagonal for a forward, it's David Luiz. Fuck me, can that boy hit a ball? And Aubameyang, Pepe, Lacazette are absolutely going to love that, because it's the one thing I would say that our defence perhaps doesn't do enough with enough accuracy. And David Luiz has got that in his locker all day long. So expect some, you know, back to front balls that maybe result in a goal this season.
More to the point, they're going to bring attackers under press early doors, which will give an opportunity to pass through the midfield in space. You know, it's going to bring something to our game. And Dave Michael, thank you for tapping that like button. I really appreciate that. Karen Russell, you are correct. More people should be tapping this like button. I get 81. It's shameful. Absolutely shameful. I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. Oh. I'm sorry, people, you're about to see something pop on your screen and it's magnificent. In any case, guys, on to questions. John, you first, mate. Danny, you first. Apologies. Archie asks, how can Mahrez play 90 minutes yet our players came back earlier, can't play?
Because he got all the way to the final. In fact, they won the final, didn't they, in the African Cup of Nations with Tunisia. And I think he played most of the games all the way through. That always mystified me, because Egypt went out in, the first knockout stage. I only watched three African Cup of Nations games. I've got no idea why that would be. Because Mahrez has had an even longer season with Man City than any of ours had with ours. So I can't think of any reason why it would be. But it has always been a way with the African Cup of Nations that players do come back at really odd times. Like with the Copa America with Sanchez, where they were doing five or six Copa Americas a season to try and kill him, to try and make sure that Messi actually won one and he still hasn't won one. And so I've got no idea why that would be. I meant to do this, Jace. I meant to go there, type this in here, and then go and highlight that as the question. See?
Okay.
Brilliant.
Let's go on to John Bernstein's then.
Right, John, this is for you. John Bernstein asks, back three if Luis plays?
Look, I'm not a fan of the back three. I would do it if... if you've got Bellerin and Tierney in the team, then you've got those flying wing backs. You can play a back three, and you can have Luis as the central one, which means he can bring the ball out. You know he loves to run forward with the ball. He's a little bit crazy sometimes. I know that's a terrifying prospect. We don't like to see our defenders running with the ball past the halfway line, but we're going to have to get used to it again because we've got another one. And he can certainly do that. I'm not necessarily against it. It just depends on the opposition and what the rest of the makeup of the squad is, like the lineup.
Okay. Danny, sorry, I asked the wrong question there in the wrong order. Dave Faber's in the box. We love Dave Faber.
I changed it though, didn't I? I realised. Hold on, John's answering the wrong question. What does John know? Turns out.
I asked the wrong question. John Bernstein also asks, now I'm going to answer this one. Out of Joe Willock, Ceballos, and Ozil, who gets more time? I would hope it's going to be Ozil. And Unai gets more out of him, okay? Because that would be something which would be great for us all to see. At the moment, Ceballos, you know, is going to be up there with Joe Willock. I still think we need to, you know, to cultivate him in a proper fashion, in a thoughtful fashion, because this is still a young player. You know, people have over-egged some of the pre-season performances, in my opinion. He's a fantastic talent. 2 years ago, I didn't think he'd be one to make it. Last season, he showed he's grown. He's come along a long way from that youngster. And this is an exciting player we've got on our books. So let's make sure we cultivate him properly and ease him into it. You know, I think it's important that we give him the opportunity to succeed. But who would I hope to get the most minutes and to be a positive impact? Hopefully it's Ozil. Mike Hernandez has smashed in a donation and he asks, how long do you gentlemen believe Kolasinac and Ozil will be out for? It must be hard to bounce back from psychological level from what's happened. Well, there's been more to that than meets the eye, Mike. Two other guys have been arrested outside Ozil's house. I'm not sure what they've been charged with, but they've gone to an altercation with Ozil security. So this has been something which the police believe are separate to the carjacking incident. But, you know, it's something else on top of it. So it's not good news. You don't know what incidents like the carjacking lead to. So fingers crossed, the shitbags who are giving these guys grief are caught, jailed, fuck off somewhere, you know? Because
LBC was saying that they look like it's organised crime from Eastern Europe that was behind it. But that was LBC that said that.
Yeah, but we don't know, do we? We don't know. So let's just hope, you know, okay, wherever these people are, they fuck off and die, you know? Because they're no use to anyone.
John, I was thinking about this earlier, that we've now had four players in the last few months that haven't been able to go to games because he had Mkhitaryan couldn't go to the Baku game or the final in Baku, and now these two have missed a game as well. So I don't think that's ever happened to any other club that I know of, has it? It's ridiculous.
No, I've got no words for it. Do you know what I mean? It's just... I don't get the thought process behind all this. I don't understand why people sink to these levels. So, well, they can just fuck off. John, Daniel Kupka asks, hey, guys, could not see the match. Still stuck at work. Who was your man of the match? Keep up the good work. Daniel, thank you. And thank you for the donation, mate. It's much appreciated. John, you first. We'll all give our man the match. You
first. It's tough. I think I'd give it to Aubameyang just because, like, won the goal, but also he just ran all day and was always an option. And he had a tough time because it was a slightly disjointed attack today. But Callum Chambers definitely gets a close second for me.
Okay. Dan?
Ashley Maitland-Niles, because people have been saying for all preseason, we need a right back. He isn't a right back. He didn't have a great preseason, but he has shown today that when it's important, he has stepped in there and he has done it. And he was magnificent. He was the target of all their attacks in the first half. And he was the target of most of our build-up play. And that ball to Aubameyang, although the pigeon tried to put me off, was a thing of beauty. And yeah, well done, young man. Take a bow.
Okay, I agree with John. Actually, I thought Alba.
He would do.
And I just thought he was sensational in the fact of his work rate. Okay, he kept on going. It was a bit frustrated him in his offsides at the beginning of the game, but I thought Chambers and AMN were good. I thought Willock was good. I thought Leno looked a presence. Yeah.
Do you think that Leno looked like he's improved on his ball collecting? Because a couple of times he was a bit wobbly when it came to punching the ball or grabbing it in the air, didn't he? And I thought he looks like he's improved upon it.
I think, well, look, he came in last season. It must have been a nervousness of the big move to the Premier League. And I think, you know, he'll be a bit more settled coming into the new season. He's undoubtedly the number one. And to be fair, Socrates and Chambers were decent in front of him today. You know, so that's going to help as well.
He's never going to say that again, people. Can someone just grab that and then post it? We got a donation from Josh.
Which Josh?
On our screen, have a look. Josh Page.
Josh Page piles in and he says, oh, Josh, thank you so much, Josh, you're a rock star. He says, 2-1 to the Pirates today, but still Carpenter out. Correct, Josh, correct. You are an absolute rock star. And yes, for all those who aren't following the Barbican Pirates, give them a follow on Twitter at Barbican Pirates, I think it is. Can't remember.
He changes it every few weeks.
Yeah, he does, because he's like, that's like his hair, isn't it? And his hair colour.
Can't be trusted.
You just can't. But for all those guys, the Pirates special is still up and available, and the competition is still on, okay? There are some cracking prizes to be won. A Pirate shirt, a She-Wore wall clock, and a She-Wore watch. These are great prizes. It's a fiver entry fee. And, you know, somebody's got to win them. And the Pirate shirts, to be fair. I mean, I know Chris has got dodgy tasting clothes, but this season shirt looks absolutely banging. So, you know, Danny's put some pictures up on YouTube for you to look at. You know, but yeah, the clock and the watch are superb from Gav. So, kudos to all those guys involved there.
And there's one here of the shirt. I'm just waiting for it to load. There we go. There's a new Pirate shirt.
Looks really good, doesn't it?
Customized, signed, framed, not framed. No, he might wear it for you, so it stinks of pirates. It's a little salty, but yeah, this watch on Gav's website is 100 quid. And yeah, the clock is 60 quid. Gav is not having any more clocks and watches made, so he saved one to give away. And all you have to do is pay £5 to us, and then you'll be entered into the draw. And there's only about 17 people that have entered it so far.
Yeah, I think we're half of them. So get on it, people. Because I'm not being funny. If I win that shirt or that watch, yeah, I'm not giving it away to anybody. I'm having it. If I win it, that's it. I go.
Retire.
Couldn't give the monkeys. I like that shirt, actually. I'm going to buy one myself. You know, it's one of those, because Chris does sell them as well. If you don't win it and you want one of those shirts, he will sell them to you. And they're not the 90 quid prices or anything. I'm not sure how much he's charging this year, but they're pretty decent. So there you go.
A question here. It says, what is Chris's connection to Malta? He went there on holiday with the missus. He loved it. He went back again. He loved it even more. And then he contacted the Maltese FA and said, can I put my thing on your logo on my shirts? And they said, yeah, sure. Wonderful. And so I think it might have been the tourist board or the FA or both. So they just see it as something really cool to do. So that's why the Maltese cross is on there.
Isn't somebody going to watch a game from them today, this season, because of it?
What, from Malta to come and see Chris?
Yeah, no, from the Maltese Foreign Office or whatever. I don't know, the tourist office or something.
What a fucking waste of time that is. Jesus
Christ. To be fair, did you see they posted up the squad last night, okay? And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to this season. Come on, E-Pirates. This is going to be interesting. Ah, right. I asked because my mum is Maltese. The Drift MC's mum is Maltese. So I think you need to buy her one of those shirts.
And Chris will customize any of the shirts with or without the logos. You don't have to have them all. You can have different ones. You can have the ABW across the front of it. You can have a picture of me naked in the bath or the pigeon puddle. You can have that on it if you want.
And Corey Austin is correct. To be fair to Chris, he works his little pirate thighs off for the love of the game and swords up the pirate. He's right. I spoke to Chris over the summer and he was having doubts about whether he was going to go again this season. And we were just chatting about it. And, that, you know, you've got to weigh it all up with work, personal life and stuff. But he's gone again. He's gone again. I'd love nothing more than to go down to watch the Pirates in the final. Me and John on the sideline hurling abuse at the Pirates, of course.
Me and Sean come down.
With a big carpenter out banner. Okay? It'd be brilliant. But
every decision.
Yeah. Harassing referees. Oh, it'd be great. But no, fair play to Chris. You know, I got a lot of respect for what he does there. John, back to questions. Nicky Wilson asks, new season, new coaches, £70 million players. Why can we still not take a throw-in properly?
No fucking clue, but to be perfectly honest. But yeah, it's what we spoke about earlier. I think it's just a few games into the season, then we'll start to up the tempo and stuff. But yeah, first game of the season is always a little bit slow, unless you're Man City or Liverpool, but there you go. But to be fair, Liverpool were playing fucking Norwich, you know, come on.
They fucked us 5-1 last season, didn't they?
All right, well, you know, I was trying to keep it positive, Jace, but for fuck's sake.
I've still got visions of Socrates. Salah the box.
Come on. Is he going on again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Danny, question. West London Goon asks, any truth to the rumours that Jace is moonlighting on the Italian Barese Wonderland, then Champions League night's start-up again?
Very true indeed. It is. They wanted a Maldini Wonderland, but John's doing that. And I'm doing a Del Piero Wonderland. And Chris is doing, I don't know, someone who played for Plymouth, a Kwame Ampadu Wonderland, because he played for Arsenal and Plymouth. So, no, I've got no idea. They don't tell me anything. All they do is press more buttons.
We will be doing a Del Piero Wonderland at a couple of points this season. Me and John just need to sort that out. Dan, I'm going to come back to you on this one again. Junior Gunner asks, so once Mustafi leaves, who's going to be the next scapegoat?
You bowled me a googly there. Where's the bloody question?
It's right after West London Goon's question.
Oh, there we go. Hold on. Can I do this professionally? I have to go and get it, cut it, paste it, put it in here, and then do that so people can see. Because this thing doesn't remember all of the tweets all that far back. Who's he going to maybe get Aboué back? He's not doing anything. We do love a boo boy, Will or Coughlin or any of that. Like, it goes so far back. Somebody should make a list of who the boo boys were. Because there's always one they pick on. So if Mustafi leaves, it's usually someone who's foreign, isn't it? It's very rarely it's an English player, mainly because back in the days we didn't have any. Well, that's going to be... I can't think of anybody that the players will... Maybe Guendouzi? Because a lot of people seem to be on his back and not rating.
Yeah, Xhaka.
Yeah.
Xhaka.
But if you've seen Xhaka, they're not going to say it to his face, are they? You can say it to Guendouzi. Let's have a little cry and wipe his eyes, tears away of his hair. But Xhaka will murder you. So if you're going to pick on Xhaka, you might want to think twice before doing that.
Big bit of them, Kolasinac as well. You know, just saying. John, Western London Goon asks again, if we play a back four regularly, is Bellerin a good enough defender to keep us compact?
Yeah, I think he is. I think when we play with a back four and we do end up with Bellerin and Tierney, who are very, very forward thinking fullbacks, then it's more about the midfield that's in front of the centre backs and their job to cover than it is necessarily about the fullbacks. They've got the pace to recover, so that's not a problem. But it's in terms of keeping us compact, I'm looking more at the midfielders who are sitting in front of the defence to do that job.
Agreed. Right, I'll answer the next one. Mayank Nagendran asks, how do you rate the Xhaka captaincy? As much as I hate it, I think Xhaka's got to be more in referees' faces when he's letting stuff go. I think Xhaka has been a bit of a victim of the boo boys already, to be honest there. I don't mind giving him stick when he doesn't perform well. I thought him and Guendouzi could have moved the ball a little quicker today, but, you know, he gets an awful lot of unfair stick, in my opinion, okay? he hasn't improved on certain aspects of his game, which he should have since he's been with us. That has been frustrating. But there are no standout leaders in this squad. Maybe Louise now, there are, you know, but there's no real standout leaders for me in the squad. I think he'll do a decent job. You know, he's captained Switzerland. He captained Gladbach. Is it Gladbach or Leverkusen he was at, John?
Gladbach, yeah. He was captain for the last season.
Yeah. I should have said Leverkusen there, shouldn't I? Because that would have wound you up. Yeah, sorry. But no, I think he'll do a decent job, okay? And, you know, I think this midfield is going to have a tough time this season at times, you know. Guendouzi and Torreira, I'm going to start calling his proper name now, are still young. And, you know, you've lost Ramsey. It's not going to be all plain sailing for us. It really isn't. But, you know, if Ceballos can come in and be and make a positive impact, that'll be great. So, you know, yeah, I'm happy with Xhaka being captain. I've got to be honest there. Danny, Nicky Wilson asks, is Jason going out with your mum?
Well, all I can say is before this started, Jace told me if I fuck around once on this show, I'm going straight to my bedroom. All I can say. You figure it out for yourselves, people.
Dan, I'm going to ask you again then. Sorry. Mike Hernandez asks, is Mustafi officially frozen out?
It does look like it because he can play at right back, although I wouldn't imagine. And I don't think Mustafi's that bad a player. I just think there's always got to be one who is the weak link. But when you look at some of the goals that we conceded in the pre-season games, there's one of them where I think it was against Barcelona where he just stood still and everyone ran past him. Chambers is trying to do two jobs at once. And I think all these things are adding up. And we are a worse team when he plays. And now we have got the light. I would say he's now fifth choice. First choice is going to be Holding, Sam, Pappy, Louise, Chambers, all them lot. And then fifth is going to be Mustafi. And then plus we can still get half decent money from Mustafi. But if he goes back to Italy or he goes to play in Spain, then he's not going to be on the 80 grand a week he is at the moment. And so that's maybe why he's not leaving. Maybe he's going to just go, I'm going to stay here because I'm on the big money. But then again, you're not going to play. So what do you do?
Yeah, but it's one of those as well. The Barca game, nobody moans about there being no pressure on the ball player. You know, the guy had all the time in the world to play that ball through. It was a great ball and a great finish from Suarez. Yeah, he was flat-footed. But, you know, we don't look, you defend as a team. And we don't look at that a lot of the time. So that's a bit frustrating, but there you go. Question for all of us. There's only a couple of questions to go. Oh, no, friggin' heck, there's more than that shit, sorry. Now, this is just for you then, John. Karen Russell asks, does anyone think Alba will win the Golden Boot outright this season?
Yes, I think he's got a really good chance with Pepe coming into the team, which I think not only will give Alba more chances, I think it also improves Ozil's game because it gives him another outlet to hit. A lot of time last season, you saw Ozil only had one player wide who was sort of moving and stretching him behind. Iwobi was coming inside a lot or being sort of parallel to him. So if he's got Aubameyang to hit one side, Pepe the other, Martinelli is another option as well. So I think that just means there's more movement up top and it should be better movement, more intelligent movement, which will make the space for someone like Aubameyang to exploit. So yeah, he's got a really good chance. It's going to be tough though because, I mean, like City and Liverpool obviously are going to have some players up there. I guess the only advantage he's got is that they've got more goal scorers in their team, sort of the goals are spread out a bit more, whereas ours are more focused in on him and perhaps Lacazette.
Okay. Danny, Marcus Hodges asks, I've got a couple of questions down, mate, because we've kind of covered those. Will we see Louise sitting in front of Chambers and Papa from time to time?
Well, now she's split up with Jamie Redknapp. She is a bit of she has more spare time. David Louise, sorry. Possible. Yeah, I think I'd rather see Louise Nerding play than Mustafi play some of the time. No, I don't think that will be the. Maybe he'll, because we do, I think we do like to have one defender who's going to stay back, one defender who's going to go forward a little bit with the ball, maybe into the defensive midfield role. That's the kind of role Louise can do, and I do like him. And like John was saying, he's got a hell of a kick on him, and I just like everything about the bloke. I like his hair, I like the fact he plays for Brazil, I like the fact that he's a bit nuts. He's got a, he can take a decent free kick, but he doesn't really score that much. And yeah, I'm pretty happy with him. But whether he'll come forward like that, I don't think so. I think we've got too many other players that can play in that position.
Okay. Right, I'll answer the next one. Karen Russell asks, how many goals will Albert, Laka and Pepe get this season combined?
And you can't answer all the goals. That's not allowed.
50-plus. 50-plus.
I'm going
70-plus.
Ooh, really?
In fact, that's what you both put on your Tinder profile preferences, isn't it? 70-plus.
Oh, Jesus, no comment. But I'd expect 20-plus from Aubameyang. I'd expect around about the 20 mark from Lacazette. And if Pepe gets 10-plus and more in the assists bag, I'll be over the moon with him. So that would be brilliant. But, 50-plus, I think, is fair. 70-plus is a stretch, but it's a great target for them to have, isn't it?
Yep. It depends how far we go in the League Cup and the FA Cup and whether those players get used in the early rounds, which I don't think they will. I think that Emery probably realises now you have the Premier League is the number one target because we can finish top four easily with a full strength team and concentrating on that and let all the other players go and play in the other competitions. So I don't think we're going to score as many goals as you could do. If all those players played in every single game, yeah, I'd say 70-plus, but I don't think they will do. I think he might have learned his lesson from last season. Too many eggs, too small a basket.
Oh, look at him. Bit of a philosopher there. Right. John, Christopher Groning asks, rumours say Inter are about to make a bid for Xhaka. If the bid is high enough, would you accept knowing that you can't replace him in the transfer market?
If it is in the... I would say if it's 45 million or above, then yes. A little bit reluctantly. Not because I wouldn't sell him. I don't have a problem with selling him. I do like Xhaka. I've got a lot of time for him, more than, say, some people. But that kind of money is hard to turn down. The issue would be that then it does leave us a little bit light in midfield. But, yeah, okay, maybe you've got Maitland-Niles can play in there. You've got Willock, obviously, who saw today. I actually think he's better a little bit deeper than he is higher up the pitch. You've got Ceballos come in as well. You could obviously play the more advanced role, Ozil. So there's probably enough, but I still think it just leaves us a little bit tight. And then it would mean you have to then try and get someone in January, I think, just when you've got so many fit round fixtures.
I've got to be honest with you, it'd have to be 50-plus because the one thing all these guys, AMN is still young, Willock is still young, Guendouzi's still young, Torreira's still young, okay? Ceballos only played 36 league games in the last couple of seasons, okay? I don't think there's an anchor there. And I think everybody's kind of forgetting Jacques is the one guy who brings experience to that side.
Yeah.
Okay? And, everybody, people go on about the class of 92. You had Roy Keane in the midfield, Steve Bruce behind, okay? You had a spine to that team to allow those guys to flourish. We don't have that. And I think everybody's having a pop with Xhaka, but he's been a mainstay of this team for two or three years, And yes, there are aspects of his game he has to improve. But I got to be honest, if we sell him without cover, I worry. I really, really do. I think
the one thing I would say about the Inter move is Inter are also looking at Rakitic, who Barca are willing to part with if the money's right. So if I'm Inter Milan, I know which player I'd rather have. But yeah
but it's Inter Milan.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. Danny, West London Goon asks, is Ainsley Maitland-Niles? Ainsley, it's not Mike Ainsley of Newcastle, it's Mike Ashley. So it's Ainsley Maitland-Niles, still conservative. Or in the current climate, has he jumped ship to another party? Maybe the Lib Dems. More to the point, would his mother even let him?
I think that Ashley is now the Brexit party, so he can get Bellerin out of the country and he can be our number one right back. That is the bottom line.
Well, that's the most horrible answer I've ever heard, but let's move on. John, Marble Halls TV asks, if we beat Liverpool and Spurs, Are we outside title contenders?
Yeah, if we can beat them, definitely. Look, the obviously beating the teams around you in the top six as it is now is been a problem of ours for a few years, but we did all right in some of the games last season. But it was our away form was the biggest issue. And if you beat Liverpool and Spurs, that's great, but if you go away and you lose to Watford and Wolves and teams like that, you're not going to get anywhere anyway. So it's a big confidence boost for the squad. But yeah, I mean, realistically, I can't see us winning the title. I think it's a straight shootout between City and Liverpool again this season. I just think they're miles ahead of everyone. But if we beat teams, you know, like the Scum down the road and Liverpool, and maybe get a draw against City or something, then the closing the gap is the real thing, isn't it? The thing. You don't want to be embarrassed.
If we get top four, it's a good season. Okay, yeah. It really is. I know Chelsea got a transfer ban. I know United are a dumpster fire, but just getting top four would be so important to us financially. And give the squad a boost. It would really give the squad a boost, which would be epic. But we just have to wait and see. Danny, actually, we're all going to answer this one. John Bernstein asks, I'm going to start with you, Dan. What rating would you give Unai today? I thought he did well to handle the mix and match team and still get a win.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give him an 8. Nothing magnificent. I like the fact that he did his usual thing of the second half was much better than the first half. Now, we always asked last season why he can't do that in the first half and the second half, but I'd be worried that he'd only do it in the first half and not the second half. So it's still a team in transition. Still, like Sal said at the start, 7 of those starting 11 normally wouldn't play if we had a fully fit squad. So when you take all that into consideration, plus Newcastle, new manager, who does like to play attacking football, just not very well because he's had 11 different managerial jobs in 21 years, 35% win ratio. So it was never going to be really easy. But so many times in the past, Arsenal have tripped up with these games where we go away and go to a rubbish team and go, oh, we'll easily beat them, and we didn't. Or we're 4-0 up, we end up 4-4. So these things they've got history. So yeah, I'm quite happy with him.
Okay, John.
7.5. Didn't have everyone at his disposal today. Playing your first game of the season, playing away, is always tough, regardless of the opposition. I know Newcastle got a new manager, but defensively they were pretty solid last season under Benitez, and that doesn't go away just with a change of manager. So just did the sensible thing, just played it cautiously enough, not overly cautious as he had done a few times last season, and got the result. And yeah, today was just about 3 points. Clean sheet was a great bonus as well.
Yeah, I'm going to give a solid 7. I've got to be honest with you. Conditions are poor. The team selection did surprise me a little bit. It wasn't the easiest of games. I think there's lots of things to work on for him. But it's 3 away points and a clean sheet. And you can't ask for more than that. So congratulations to Unai today. Well done. That's brilliant.
Three players that he knew would be good for the team. He didn't panic and play them from the start. He brought them on, eased them into the game, which is the right thing to do for the players. And he was probably thinking about them rather than go on and out you go in your first Premier League away game in the race.
Yeah, look, and I think he's going to need to do that. Okay, we're going to come on to that in a second, actually. Last question before I ask a question to the three of us. Karen, this is for you, John, because you love a good dimmer. A good referee question. Karen Russell asks, after today's woeful display by Atkinson, even with VAR, do you think that we will be treated fairly by refs?
Yes, I think, to be fair, I think we're always treated fairly by refs. I just think they're just mistakes. People make mistakes, they're human beings. Are some worse than others? Yes, of course. I don't buy into the referees hate us and this one's against us and this one's a Spurs fan or this one's a Liverpool fan. It's nonsense. They're just professionals doing their job. Some of them are better at it than others. Sometimes they miss things. Sometimes they see things. We saw today he could have quite easily, you know, if the referees are all against us, Almiron could have won a penalty with his dive. He didn't. The referee got it bang on. Yeah, he got, you know, a few decisions wrong. I think there were some more bookings he could have given out, some he didn't need to. That, you know, that's it, really. I think, if anything, VAR will be, for the most part, a good thing for the game, as long as it doesn't delay things too much. I think there was something they checked within the game about a possible handball that the VAR team were reviewing whilst the game was going on. there was no need to pull it back because there was no handball. It was ball to hand or whatever the ruling is now. So it didn't interrupt the flow of the game. It was a good thing. It was all checked. There was nothing illegal happened. The referee didn't miss anything. So you can just carry on with things. So, yeah, I think all teams get treated fairly. You just sometimes you don't get the decision.
Yeah, and the quality of referees was shown at its level when nobody went to the World Cup. I think that's part and parcel of the problem. Okay, so guys, last question of the day. We've seen a really interesting transfer window, to be fair. Martinelli come in, Pepe, Luis, Tierney. Well, I'm missing somebody.
Martinelli.
I said Martinelli.
Ceballos, Luis.
Ceballos on loan. Yeah. For me, you've got to look at Saliba as well. Saliba and Martinelli are going to be long-term projects. You know, it's a 3 or 4 year project with these guys. They're still very, very young, but two really good signings. Ceballos, it's a bit of a stick and plaster, but with the financial side of it, that's maybe just what we need at the moment. Pepe and who's the other one?
Luis.
Luis is Premier League ready. Pepe comes with a really good season under his belt. You know, they've still got to have a little bit of time to settle in and what have you. And I think Pepe, you know, you've got that jump from Ligue 1 to the Premier League. Are you happy with the transfer window?
Yeah, I am. I'm really happy with it. Start of the summer, I was dreading it. Honestly, I thought it was going to be awful. All the stories coming about how little money we've got, some of the players we were linked to, the fact that we were linked to Zaha, who I was all for signing, but I just couldn't see how we were going to afford it. The Tierney thing was taking so long, looked like it wasn't going to get done. But massive credit to Raul Sanyehi and Hasfami, who apparently just like two-man team, just went there, worked it out, got all the deals done, everything finished. Could have been done sooner, maybe. We don't know all the ins and outs of it. Obviously, these things are really tough to do. But they got basically all their targets and for all their positions. So that's probably one of our best windows in a long time.
Dan?
Yes, very happy with it. The only way it could have been slightly better was to maybe get Saliba and not send him back on loan. But that only for the fact that then we could probably get rid of Mustafi. And we're there, and we might not have had to abort Luis, but the fact we got Luis for £8 million is an absolute bargain for a 32-year-old. I think a lot of that is the fact that he was on around 120 grand a week at Chelsea, and he was part of the old guard that maybe Lampard didn't really get on with, because a couple of years ago he was frozen out by one of the Chelsea managers. I can't remember which one it was, but he only played 10 games in the season. They've had quite a few players that have fallen out of the managerial staff and the backroom staff, and maybe even the playing staff. I think maybe he was one of them. That's why Chelsea wanted to get rid of him. We were linked with him a couple of years ago as well, weren't we, when he was leaving PSG. Yeah. I think Chelsea tried to flog him back to PSG for about £60 million for some of their one of their special deals that they usually have with PSG and Atletico. They just keep sending the same players backwards and forwards of each other, but PSG didn't want him, which is a bit of a shame.
I think Luis is a good signing for where we are, where we're at. I think, you know, I mean, look, you're talking about Saliba, he's 18. You know, it's too big an ask for him to come in and, you know, all of a sudden set the Premier League alight. I'm happy with it. I'm a hell of a lot happier than I was 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've got to be honest with you. It's Raul has done well, to be fair to him. You've got to give him credit. It's going to be interesting going forward now with Edu there, how we develop this squad. But, you know, the one thing I would say, the weekend to you movement was never about signings and spending money. And to be fair, the Kronks, they have spent money over the last couple of years. You know, Lacazette, £50 million, Aubameyang, £50 million. They have spent money. It's a bit more than that. So let's not get involved in nonsense over that. You know, they're looking at the way the club is run, etc. And hopefully that will sort itself out. So that's it for today, guys. A massive thank you to the chat box. We've now got 97 likes. That's not 100, for crying out loud. Come on, get up to 100, please. You've been brilliant today. It's great to have you all back. It's great to be back. Massive shout out to Yvonne Okofor, Daniel Kupka, Greg, Michael Hernandez, and Joshua Page for your donations. That is utterly superb of you. My thanks to you, John.
Thank you very much, Jace. Great to be back. I'm not going to lie, I was kind of dreading a couple of weeks ago because we started talking about getting all the shows ready and lineups and everything. I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure I can do this again. And then then Don Raul went out with Huss and they did all the business and got the signings and we went out and got the result today. And I was like, oh, I remember why I like football now. This is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dan, my thanks to you. It's good to have you back, pal.
It's been an absolute joy. We will be back on, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday to do a podcast. We've got the preview show next Friday. Then we're playing. The next game is next Saturday. So that'll be, God, it's a 12:30 kickoff. I'm going to go to bed now to be up in time for it. And yeah, thank you very much to all the wonderful listeners for Jason's new computer and his webcam. And they've both got new microphones and all that other stuff. So we don't spend all your money on crack whores like some of you might think we do. It's we spend it well.
Yeah, I really wasn't looking forward to today after what happened last week. So my thanks to you guys in the chat box. You've really cheered me up. As have the Arsenal. Once again, this show is dedicated to Steve Whittle, to Lord Hillwood, and they all are this season. We've lost our friend and we're heartbroken. But this is something which happens, unfortunately. Steve lost a 2-year fight to cancer. So people, if you are feeling ill, if something's not right, get checked out. If you do, if you are unfortunate enough to lose a friend in these circumstances, talk to somebody about it. It does make you feel better. Don't go down that road of carrying these trials and tribulations alone. You know, we will be doing mental health specials as the season goes on. I know Paul Price is planning more walks. He's done one pre-season, in my view. But this show is dedicated to Steve. We miss you, mate. Danny, switch this shit off.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.